Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Changers on 101.5 UMFM.
It's on the radio.
It is on the radio, and we are online, and it is a holiday as of today, so yeah, enjoy your day off and keep cool.
It's going to be hot.
Not nice out there.
Yeah, it's not nice right now. I have an ice pack at my feet just because I want to stay extra cool and not have the fan going.
I already think you're cool.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yes, I accept. thank you. I accept.
And so, if you are like us and avoiding the heat, not going outside, not going in the sun, it's the perfect time to get yourself reacquainted with some video games. Mm-hmm. And we have been playing, I've been playing a fair amount of video games, been researching.
Well, what's your name, though?
You don't need to know my name. My name's Megan.
My name's Alice.
And you may notice that we did decide to change up the name a little bit because neither one of us really have time to slack off all that much.
I mean, well, laziness is not a real thing, but yeah.
It's
not a real thing.
And we like to, we're going to try and change some,
and
some things
up. And not slack?
And not slack. Well, no, we'll still slack on occasion.
Yeah.
But we want to bring some change to some of the stuff that we like.
Yes.
Including games.
Yeah, the thing we talk about.
The thing we talk about the most. The thing that we have a lot of problems with, but we love oh so much.
Oh, man.
So, we've been playing video games. I dipped my toes into Braid, which is an indie puzzle game that uses time travel as a mechanic.
Yeah, I believe it's from, 2013, I think?
Yes.
I'm correct. It's very interesting. It utilizes sort of a time mechanic, like a stopwatch mechanic almost, and you're able to turn back time and affect it in different ways. It is very much a puzzle game, but it has a really sort of neat story aspect to it as well.
Sorry, correction, it's 2008. This is a much older game than we anticipated.
Oh, okay, I see. It was, yes, okay, we're going even back further.
We're using that time travel to go back even further, y'all.
When did I get a PlayStation 3 versus when did PlayStation 3 actually become a thing? Which was in the later, I guess, 00s. But yeah. But it is very cool. It's been, obviously, I don't know if it's been remastered, but it's on, I think, everything at this point. Even, it's on the Switch, we were playing it on the PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, Xbox 360,
Apple games, Linux has it, the OS X has it.
It is really neat, I'm trying to think of, the guy made another game. Oh, yeah, The Witness, which is another puzzle game, which is really funny because you think about it, they're very puzzly games.
I can see the flavor of The Witness that it took from Braid.
Oh, yeah, the painful aspect of it, yeah.
The Witness is not, I'm not going to say it's that fun of a game for myself.
It's a puzzle game.
It's a puzzle game, and I'm not great at puzzle games, I will admit that.
Certain puzzle games, I will also admit I'm not good at certain puzzle games. Certain puzzle games I love. The Witness, I think, is a little too big brain for me. It would make my head hurt trying to figure it out sort of thing. And I like puzzles where I'm, able to sort of see a connection or see how I'm supposed to do it. Even if I need a hint to see, I can be like, oh, that goes there. Versus The Witness, I think the puzzles are, whereas they could be explained to me, I think it would just be it would just confuse me even more. I'd just be more frustrated than have fun, which is fine, but it's visually very pretty. I do like that sort of game, especially in terms of a puzzle game. There are more that are sort of this first person, very 3D now, but I think The Witness was one of the ones that did it better. But yeah, haven't actually played it. I've seen lots of stuff on it. I've watched lots of stuff on it. Not a game for me, although I do like puzzle games. But yeah.
So, The Witness is good if you are someone who wants to challenge your mind.
Oh, yeah.
Braid is a good game if you want to go in for just a neat little story, and if you are also a bit of a platformer, which is what I do really like about it, and the time travel aspect is very cool.
Well, the time mechanics. I think Braid, for me personally, would be a game that I could handle just a little bit more because I think the mechanics and the puzzle solving are a little more clear to me. There is sort of more, the levels telegraph what they want you to do or how to do stuff, sort of, more than something like The Witness. once again, haven't really played The Witness as much as we've paid attention to Braid, but in my, like, that's just my understanding of it, or just how I can be like, this understand, because I see that guy going over there. Yeah.
So, the good thing about Braid is that if you are having problems with the puzzles, you are not bound there to finish said puzzle. You can move on to the next one,
yeah.
Which I highly appreciate, because after spending 20 minutes on a puzzle and I'm getting no closer and I can see no proper solution, I like the ability to go on to the next one that might be a bit more my level.
I would say, and also if you're ever frustrated with a game, do something. This is just if you could handle it, but do something. I think this is fun where we get frustrated with the game. Go and find like a speed run of it and see how fast somebody can like break or beat this game. And it's always somebody can beat Braid in 30 minutes, I think, around.
It's somewhere like that.
Yeah. So and we were like, how long have we been playing? It's not, once again, it is. It, obviously, people who speedrun this have played the game, like, more than once, clearly.
And they know where all the little nooks and crannies and the glitches are, so you can...
Or just how to do it the fastest, if there is no glitches that you can utilize. Because sometimes you can't, or it just doesn't make sense. But yeah.
So, after Braid, I went on to play, I guess it's a puzzle game of sorts, but it's more of a point and click,
Well, there's puzzles in point and click. Point and clicks usually have puzzles. Like, I'm not going to say the puzzles always make sense in point and clicks.
You have to think outside
the
box a few times.
See, versus sometimes puzzle games, like, I feel like something like Braid and something like The Witness clearly telegraph what they want. Something like puzzle games are like, you have to use this absolutely random item somewhere. Like, for, like, in the one, Monkey Island, I feel, almost does it best, where they have the item of the chicken on a pulley, the rubber chicken on a pulley. And it's just, that's an item that you legitimately have to use. Like, it has a plot purpose. You have to use it.
But you have to get real frustrated before you start trying items on other items to make other items.
That's the thing, and I think that's a big failing in especially older point-and-click games where you have a lot of irrelevant items or irrelevant things. And, you know, sometimes it's fun to, like, see what the character comments on, but, you know, like, after a while where you're like, oh, I really don't know what I'm supposed to do. So I think that's sort of where point-and-click games fail. Whereas this, like, you had a little bit of a tough time with this game, which is the, what is it?
Strong Bad's Cool Game for Attractive People. A series of Telltale games done for the Homestar Runner
series. Yeah,
it's
a web series.
It's a web series, which was, and we're going to talk more about this, it was a website full of Flash cartoons and games.
And stuff.
It was this completely ridiculous, wonderful thing in the early thousands.
Well, it started in 2000. That is when the website.
The earliest of the thousands.
Yeah, the earliest of the thousands, exactly. Yeah. I've always loved, like, I don't remember when I started watching Homestar Runner, but it was when I was younger.
I think it's once YouTube, around 2005, became more accessible to kids in my grade.
I definitely did not watch it on YouTube. I can tell you for sure I didn't. I watched it on the website. And the website, like, we will talk about it more, but the website just, it was really kind of revolutionary for its time. I don't want to use revolutionary, but it was, like, very, very impressive for the time in terms of, like, the animation quality. Like, they used Flash and game quality, and I think it was just, like, maybe there's max four people who worked on it, you know, and primarily two.
Yes.
So
the brothers Chaps, as they are known.
Yeah. And so Homestar Runner, Telltale reached out, I guess, to them, I would assume, to make like a point and click game with Strong Bad, who is, I would arguably the most popular character, despite, you know, the series being Homestar Runner, and Homestar Runner is a character. He's the title character, but he's not the most popular.
And if you want to explain Strong Bad is sort of like Bender from Futurama if Bender were not allowed to say some of the stuff.
Yeah, no, that's pretty accurate.
He's got that archetype.
He's a little boxer man. Or he has boxing gloves on his hands and, like, I feel a luchador mask. I'm not 100% on that, but it's very interesting, sort of like the character designs they have, because they aren't human. Like, Homestar Runner is like, he's a weird tube with a hat. He has no arms and he has legs. Like they're very weird characters. They're not representative of things. Like, in a way, obviously things have feet and arms to an extent, but they're very cartoony. Like, that's sort of what I'm trying to get at.
You've even got, like, a creature like the Cheat, which is, like, this little cheetah-spotted triangle thing that kind squeaks.
He's yellow.
He's often used in these games as well.
Yeah, there's a lot. Tell us, so Strongbounds, it was a point-and-click game by Telltale. We were sort of talking about the Telltale games previously. This was one in their heyday, sort of, like, the Telltale games heyday, when they were, like, making games for everybody. Left and right, like Sam and Max, and what's the other one? Jurassic Park, Back to the Future, everybody, like a lot.
It was pretty much anybody who had this idea for a point and click game could pretty much get their point and click game.
Telltale was
very many series that were.
Yeah, for sure. And made lots of series, right? Like, once again, the Walking Dead games, I personally think those ones were really interesting. Once again, there is no outcome. Like, you can't actually control any of these games. That's sort of maybe is their failing, where they sort of give you the illusion of choice. But there is ultimately only one decision that you can make. It's just how you get there, which, you know, can be a failing and can be a good thing.
So, Strongbad's cool game for attractive people, a very long title.
Yeah, and they're good, though. That's how they roll.
They're good. Got through all of part one, and all of part one was, let me think back, because I was going
through...
It was a race. You had
between
to try...
Between Homestar Runner.
You had to compete in the race to the end of the race.
Yeah.
To get a silver trophy, and it was... I don't think I'm spoiling too much because...
No, it's a Homestar Runner game from the thousands.
So this was an incredibly fun game because it made so many callbacks to so many of my favorite Homestar and email bits, Spmail.
Yeah, like, I feel, once again, this may be a game that if you have never heard of Homestar Runner, if you're not, like, aware of it, it probably would not...
It'd fall flat.
Yeah, definitely, which, you know, maybe is, like, a detriment to the game, but obviously, like, we both know Homestar Runner. We've watched Homestar Runner a lot. I have, personally.
It's a comfort cartoon at this point.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah.
It's, so you are Strongbad, who has been challenged in an email to go and pummel Homestar. Homestar. And you essentially go forth and ruin everything about Homestar's life. That is the whole point of the game. You are not a nice character. You are there to cause problems on purpose. Like, and that's kind of the fun of it, too.
Well, Strongbad is, like, he is the bully character. Like, that he just is a bully. Homestar Runner is, like, he's very good-natured and kind of a little bit, like, he just doesn't really care. He's just very unaware. He's naive, I guess, to the point.
Naive, I think, is the right word.
Yeah, but Homestar Runner, Homestar Runner, I like him better than Strongbad, just because I find Homestar Runner very funny. Like, he says a lot of very funny things.
So, like any point and click, you gotta collect items. You gotta apply items to your environment. And you have to... you don't really get to combine them this time around.
That's
not
fine.
Not really, but...
I don't think combination is ultimately necessary in some games.
So, got through the first game, and I highly recommend checking it out because it is fun. It's not a very long game, but there are 8 of these in the series.
Really?
7 or 8. There's a whole bunch that we haven't even touched yet.
Oh, wow. I thought there were only 3.
No.
Oh, man.
There's, like, so many. And we're playing this on PlayStation now. This is how we're going about this.
Yeah, and which was, I guess, these were available via PlayStation 3, but I do believe they're on Steam at the very least. I don't know where else. They're probably available on other most places, but yeah.
So you get through the whole first game, you ruin everything, and just like, you have to answer the email. In the end, you have to go and pummel Homestar.
That's the whole point
of the game.
Yeah. It just sort of is kind of a long, Strongbad email then, a little bit, in a way, huh?
That's how they frame all of these.
Oh, that's so, kind of interesting. Okay.
So, the second game is Strongbadia the Free.
Okay.
Which they allude to in the first game, where they have an Easter egg that's going to point to the next game.
Mm-hmm.
You're answering an email as Strongbad again, and you have to go and get rid of the King of Town, another character who is, like, the mayor of this municipality.
Yeah.
They really don't follow any sort of
no.
modern...
Once, This
city planning.
Once again, Homestar Runner is like a very weird, like, it's surreal. I would say it's surreal. Like, it's surreal. Yeah, surreal cartoon. Like, there's a lot of absurdity. Like, I feel like Strong Badia, anyways, is like a fence and a tire, sort of like
the, and the on tire's a little, the whole population.
Yeah, on a pop tire. Yeah. On, like, a little patch of land. So it's sort of like, this is sort of the land that they're fighting over sort of thing. Or this is the world that they inhabit. It's very bizarre and sparse.
So, Strong Baddie of the Free, you end up under house arrest because there's a tax on answering and returning emails that is retroactively needs to be paid. So your first task is to figure out how to get past your house arrest. And then you have to go forth and free all these other mini countries that have popped up in the neighborhood based on all the characters. Now, this is also a fun game, but I did not finish it because it ends in a sort of Risk board game situation that you watched me struggle over for how long?
It took a little while, and obviously, once again, this game, and I feel lots of maybe Telltale games sort of fall flat where they try to, I don't know, somehow innovate it, and it's sort of like the point and click maybe does need some innovation in terms of like the clunkiness of the UI when clicking on stuff, right? Like, I definitely think there are things in point-and-click games that you can improve to just make them more efficient and more fun to play. I don't know if adding a board game to that, you know, it feels a little unnecessary unless you can make it a fun way to do it. Like, I feel when we think about a board game in games that is sort of like a level, Psychonauts is the one with that comes to my mind, right? And that one was actually kind of fun. There's, like, a tiny bit of strategy involved in the Psychonauts one, like just a little bit, but it's mostly that you just sort of go through it and it's the level, right?
It's more of like the puzzle building thing again.
Which I feel that would have been better in, something like a point and click game, which already has puzzles, which doesn't really need something that, it just feels a little out of place because, you know, like we already sort of have, like in this game, like, and by out of place, in some, you wouldn't maybe think that in Homestar Runner if you know Homestar Runner because they love to pop like games within games within games sort of thing. But there's already sort of a bunch of the games within games in this, right? And it's sort of like, I feel a board game is the least fun kind of game to inject in this because there are already fun mini games in the Strong Bad game, right? Yeah. Like there already are, that's what I'm trying to get at. So we already have it. Why add a game that's not fun, sort of thing, if you're going to add another mini game or a part in the level that you can't actually skip, right? Yeah. This is, you have to beat it.
In order for me to beat this game. Chapter, I've got to.
And you're just sort of like, eh.
Eh. So I went on to the third one. I'm chipping away at the third one right now. But in the meantime, if I get bored of this, we were going to touch on some of the other games that were available on the homestarrunner.com website back at the time, because we're talking about games within games. A lot of the games that they had on their website respond from emails or cartoons, and they're actual playable full games that are fun.
And at least if they're not fun, they're funny. Like, they're very much a gag or, like, a reference on something. Like, they're not there. Also, you didn't probably pay money for it, right?
No,
you
didn't.
That's the thing. Homestar Runner is 100% free. Like, the website, I mean. Like, not these Strong Bad games in particular by Telltale, but the games on homestarrunner.com are free. All of the Strong Bad emails, all of the little animations, like... Yeah, one thing we were sort of watching or someone is concerned for the fact that Flash is going to be stopped in 2020. So I don't know when this year, but like Flash is the program that they use to animate and make a lot of the games, I believe, on the Homestar Runner website. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. Obviously, you can transfer videos to something like YouTube or some other video hosting site, but games are sort of another story, right? Especially Flash games. There are places, but
I guess
once again,
have to figure out some kind of emulator situation with that one. Is that a thing you can do with Flash games?
I don't know. I want to say yes at this point in time, since Flash has been around for a while. We probably could, but it's just sort of... It's interesting. We'll see what happens. But regardless... The Homestar Runner website has, like, I want to say at least 100 games that you can play. Like, there's a lot. I'm going to say not all, once again, not all of them good. Some of them are just, like, literal jokes.
After we're done this, I'm going to hook up Peasant's Quest so we can play some Peasant's Quest.
Yeah, and so, like, something like, if you haven't heard of Trogdor, so Trogdor was a, that, Trogdor came from Homestar Runner, if you don't, if you aren't aware, Trogdor is a dragon man. He's like a dragon with one beefy arm out of the side, and he's also called the Burninator. So if you've heard of any of these terms, that is from Homestar Runner. And there was several little games that came out of this, including Peasant's Quest, which is sort of a direct, base off of King's Quest, right?
It was a parody on King's Quest.
Yeah, there we go. And it's like a really good parody too. Like it has sort of all the arbitrary things that King's Quest has and like all the unfun things that King's Quest has because they're fans of these games. They understand them.
And they're tolerable because they make these arbitrary, pointless things funny.
Yeah, the humor is, once again, the humor is very on point for these games. I feel a lot of with the Homestar Runner humor, it doesn't ever punch down. It just sort of punches. Like it definitely punches up, but it just is like, haha, that's funny. Like it's just like, okay. Yeah. That is a funny thing to say. It is a little bit of the lol random humor. Like it does have that from that era, but I feel it's weirdly held up.
Like, I feel like it's also good to point out that the Brothers Chaps have gone on to do stuff with Disney.
They do animation and they do,
voice writing, work and writing. So they've done the Aquabats, they've done Gravity Falls.
And Yo Gabba Gabba. Which is, I feel that's very appropriate for them. Peasant's Quest is, based off of King's Quest, which is an old, the Sierra King's Quest games. I've never played, but obviously I know point and clicks, so I am aware of King's Quest series. I know they can be very mean, whereas if you miss one thing, like early game, and you get to sort of near end game, you cannot beat the game because you forgot that one thing.
You have to
restart. That's it. That's the game.
Because of this, I know that there are a couple different endings you can get.
Oh, yeah.
So...
I think it's neat. There, once again, on the Homestar Runner game, there's a multiple games. There's like the weird sort of like my head explode one where, and these are once again based off of emails.
Which I love the, I forget what it was called. All we know is the joke is your head explode. And it's based off a Virtual Boy game. That whole weird red pixely 3D situation.
Yeah, where it's very simple.
That would burn your eyes out if you stared at it too long.
Yeah, and it's a very simple, it's like Pong, right? It's basically your sort of reverse Pong. Like you want to hit the person or
I don't know. A brick break situation.
There we go.
So lots of games like that, well worth checking out. They're fun for just, you know, wasting some afternoon time and enjoy them while we do still have Flash access.
Yeah.
So...
Strong Beds, Rhino Feeder, that's a good one. They're just like, once again, some of them are just very funny. Some of them are, like, they're funny, but they're really well done, which I appreciate. Like, I can appreciate a funny, well done game.
So, after we're done Peasant's Quest, we have decided that we're going to check out some homemade, homebrew, fan-made games.
Yeah.
Because you've been watching this very cool racing game that looks... like something I want to pick up.
And the funnest part about this racing game, so it's like what we sort of seen or started to see is it's primarily Sonic characters, but it's in the style of Mario Kart for the Super Nintendo mostly, and it's built on the Doom engine.
That is a whole goulash.
But I love this idea of it's built on the Doom engine, which makes perfect sense when you see the game because it's sort of like there's no way it could have been modded off of a Super Nintendo game. It just wouldn't make sense. So the game we're talking about is, I feel it's called, what, Sonic? Oh, no. Sonic Robo. Help me, Megan.
I'm looking it up right now because we know it as SRB and SRB 2 specifically.
Oh, I think it's just Sonic Robo something 2.
Sonic Robo Blast 2 Kart.
We're missing the Blast. Sonic Robo Blast. And it's based off of the game Sonic Robo Blast 2. And then they sort of decided, oh, you know, we can make a kart game. Which is so, like, it was sort of a 2D or 3D-ish platformer. And now it's sort of a 3D kart game with a multiplayer online kart game. Which is very interesting. And it's just sort of a very neat game because they have a huge array of mechanics. I think you can also make your own maps. Obviously, you can play online. You can mod your own characters. You can have 3D models. You can have, like, everybody. You can get Luigi if you really wanted to. Like, we've seen... Oh, one of my favorites are, like, Link and Epona. Like, Link on Epona is really fun. Like, there's a car. There's just, like... It's sort of a game where it's very interesting because you can either... You know, start off really fast, really strong, and then you will immediately get knocked behind. And sort of, it's sort of this weird battle where you, it's a weird equalizer where it's like...
It's not like in Mario Kart where once you're in first, you're pretty much guaranteed first for a very long time unless someone has.
I would say unless you're really good at this game, which, you know, I've seen people very good and they just are in first. But there is like a, you can, there's a lot of movement in between, like, I would say... fourth to like the last place, whichever, because it depends on how many people are playing, but fourth to say like 14th sort of thing, and you can go from anywhere in there in those laps. And it's very interesting just because you can bump into like there, because this is in a Doom engine, and sort of there's a lot of more physics, like a lot more, like you bump into everything and the bumping can detriment you, and obviously...
And hitboxes are random, it looks almost.
There's like a little bit of, like, and once again, this is a game that's, like, a modded game of another game sort of thing, but in it's all free, though. Like, once again, this is all free, so it's in the same vein as Homestar Runner games, like, this is a free game that you can download onto your computer, you can play, there's, like, multiplayer options that look very fun.
And this is only computer, we should warn you that it is only on Mac, or Linux, and...
PC. It is, yeah, free mod, really, and once again, this sort of goes to show you, because... Something like this could lead to a legit good Sonic racing game, because we did see that fan games were the reason that Sonic Mania is a thing. Like, that is the reason why Sonic Mania came to life, and Sonic Mania is considered, I think at this time, probably one of the best Sonic games. I'm not going to say the best, because I haven't played...
Yeah, it's up there in my top... five.
Yeah, legit. And I would say, well, one of the best Sonic games in the last, say, like, 5 years, for sure, right? Like,
it's top in the last 5 years.
Yeah, I was
years,
like, well,
sure.
There you go. So I'm just saying, like, when you get the fans, the people who legitimately love this game and have been playing these kind of games for years, like, it very much benefits this. Like, even we were sort of talking about speedrunners last time, and I was talking about, well, I didn't mention this, but SpongeBob Rehydrated came out recently. And they actually hired a Rehydrated SpongeBob for Battle for Bikini Bottom. Let me just, like, put out the full name game. And he speedran.
Oh, boy.
He speedran this game. It's true. He speedran this game. And they actually brought him on to help to figure out glitches, to figure out just sort of, like, performance upgrades, things that would benefit the game overall. So it's sort of like, it goes to show that, you know, this can be very beneficial to game development. Stuff like this, these fan communities. So
hopefully at some point this means Nintendo will relax their position on fan-made games.
Yeah, and once again, you notice it's a Sega game, it's a Sega series and not Nintendo, and it's allowed like to thrive, right?
Like, Sega's much more forgiving with their fan games
because
they know how much it's going to benefit them in the end.
Well, yeah.
Especially since
they haven't had a good track record with Sonics.
I'm glad you said it and not me, because I would have been way more harsh.
They could do better. And Sonic Mania was proof that they could, so.
So next week we're going to come back to you with a report on the Sonic Robo Blast 2 cart.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
And we're going to play some Peasant's Quest. You know what? These games are free. We're all tired and hot and don't want to go outside. We just want to be on a computer. Stay on your computer and play these games.
Yeah, have fun.
All right. And you know what? Keep slacking.
Bye.